This is News West. News West is put together by the WA Amateur Radio News. News West is a community organisation with community news. If you want to submit something, please do so. newswest at vk6.net.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Do you know that the spring, or for us in the south, the autumn, contesting season is upon us? As I write this, the John Moyle Field Day contest is in full swing. At the same time, there is a Russian contest going, and probably a few others as well. As this article goes to air, we'll be in the middle of the CQWPX contest, which is globally the second biggest contest of the year. Typically in the spring and autumn, the bands get a bit more livelier, and your favourite contest is more likely to be successful. Or is it just because there's lots of operators on at once? That sounds like another good subject for an article. Contesting is one of the more popular elements of this great hobby. There are operators who only get on air when there's a contest, those that aim to get to somewhere rare for the contest, those that enjoy the occasional contest, and those that just roll their eyes and go and mow the lawn instead, and everything in between. This article is about getting started in this aspect of the hobby and why you might like to try it. Quick browse through the annual list on contestcalendar.com shows well over 1,500 contests each year. Some of the big ones are like the CQ Worldwide and CQWPX, and some are like the Idaho QSO party that will mainly only have hams from Idaho participating. So what do you need to participate in a contest? What you have is the answer to that one. Well, it's nice to have a metal plaque for top VK in the CQ Worldwide. Most of the larger contests have a bunch of categories such as single band, single mode, VK, QRP, 24 hours only, multi-operator, single operator, and the list goes on. Pick one that you think you might be competitive in. If you have a good antenna for 10 metres, do 10 metres only. Try QRP, whatever that is. Get some friends interested in it. See who does the best out of your own group. There's really only one criteria for any contest, and that is to have fun. Obviously, if you want to run at the top overall in one of the big contests, you're going to want to have a decent station. And many of my articles are about getting to that point, so I'm not going to harp on about that. One of the aims of contesting in general is to hone all the skills required to build a successful system, as well as the skills to operate that station. Your local radio club can often be a good place to dip your toes in the contesting lake. There are a few contests that most VK6 clubs participate in. The Remembrance Day and the John Moyle Field Day contests are good examples of this. These two contests in particular are friendly, very popular in Australia and New Zealand, don't require you to make 6 contacts a minute to be competitive, and I think the best contests to cut your teeth on. The good thing about participating in a contest at your local club is that you can learn off the more experienced members. You get more involved in the club in general, and often you can leverage off a better station than you might be able to build at home. Even if there aren't other club members wanting to participate in a particular contest, you can still use a club station to operate as a single operator. I don't know any club in WA who isn't always looking for new blood for their contesting team, so it's a great way of getting more involved in the club. What makes a good contest operator? It's by no means just a big station. A good strategy is important. Look at the aims and rules of the contest well before you start. The RD, or Remembrance Day contest, is a friendly contest where most will give a name as well as a number, and the ruthless 5929 thank you QRZ contest response will keep contacts away in their droves. Conversely, don't hand your name over when you're working K3LR in the CQ Worldwide, because he only wants your number and you probably just cost him 3 contacts for that minute. Talking about all the strategies would turn this article into a weekend session, so I won't harp on more about that. What is important is having a nice process-driven flow to each contact. Hand over the information required in the same way for each. Be friendly or be super efficient depending on the contest. But even in the friendly contests, while it's fun to stop for a minute, a long chat with a friend, don't rag chew with every contact. There may be others waiting in line, rolling their eyes and wondering if it's worth the wait. part of having that process-driven approach is having everything around you set up so you can be efficient. A foot switch is a cheap accessory that makes a big difference to the flow. Having your contest logging software working and fully tested well before the contest start is important. Nothing worse than getting 20% into a contest and finding out you've been given out the wrong numbers. Been there and done that. Read the rules. Often the rules for a particular contest change from year to year. If you're doing a 24 or 48-hour contest, pick light meals that won't sit heavy on your stomach and avoid caffeine for the same reason. Drink lots of water. Think about headphones versus a good quality set of loudspeakers. Headphones are great, but get pretty heavy on the ears after a few hours. If you're doing a multi-operator operation, don't stand around the operator chatting with others, as it's really distracting, and don't imagine that constant advice to the operator is welcomed either. Put some time into setting up audio and filtering on your receiver. Most modern radios these days have good options for managing audio response curves. A badly set up receiver can give you audio fatigue very quickly. A boom microphone can be a great accessory and not necessarily very expensive. A studio microphone from a music store set up correctly in a modern radio that has a transmit mic amp equalizer can be every bit as good as a high-end ham microphone. Boom assemblies can be purchased on eBay for well under $50. A wireless keyboard and mouse will help you keep your desk uncluttered and helps to maintain that flow you need to maximise efficiency. So, never participated in a contest? Give it a go. Talk to your local club or knock on the door of one of the more active contest clubs. Sit with an Elmer who enjoys contesting, or just get on air and give it a shot anyway. It's great fun. Well, thanks for listening again. This has been VK6SJ, Steve Kennedy, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or other articles, they'll be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au around 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
The West Australian Repeater Group meets on the first Monday of each month, or the second Monday if the first is a public holiday. Meetings are held at the First Pelican Point Sea Scout Group Hall, number 12, Australia 2 Drive in Crawley, down the end past the Yacht Club. Doors open at 1900 hours for a 1930 start. Tea and coffee are available and all are welcome. Meetings are also broadcast on Skype. Please see the website for the link. And please note that this link is only available to financial members of WARG. More details are available on the WARG website, warg.org.au.
Hello, this is Paul, VK5 Papa Alpha Sierra, the National Coordinator for the Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program, abbreviated as WWFF. WWFF is an international park activation program and is extremely popular here in VK. The Australian chapter of the WWFF program is known as VKFF. This month, March 2003, we celebrate 10 years of the WWFF program in Australia. A special event call sign of VI10VKFF. Victor India 10 Victor Kilo Foxtrot Foxtrot has been granted by the ACMA to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of VKFF. The call sign is available for use by amateurs who are activating an Australian park as part of the VKFF program. If you are interested in using VI10VKFF whilst activating a VKFF park, please send an email to vkffaustralia@gmail.com. That's vkffaustralia@gmail.com. If you do hear a VKFF park activator using the call sign, please give them a call. You're not required to submit a log or do anything formal following the QSO. The park activator would be very pleased to hear from you. More information on VI10VKFF and the VKFF program can be found on the WWFF Australia website at www.wwffaustralia.com. www.wwffaustralia.com. 73 Paul VK5 Papa Alpha Sierra.
Did you know that WAG operates a number of repeaters in the VK6 area, three of which are in the Perth metro area, VK6 RAP and VK6 RLM are in Rolleystone and VK6 RTH at Tick Hill. WAG operates repeaters in the following areas: Rolleystone, Avon Valley, Katanning, Busselton, Brigadoon, Fremantle, Kellerberrin, Mount Saddleback, Mount William and Tick Hill. All the details of repeaters can be found on the WAG website, warg.org.au, and click on repeater status. This site also shows repeater coverage and status and a link to report faults. This is Carsten, VK6PCB.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hello from the WAVHF group. The club participated in the John Moyle Memorial Field Day from Wireless Hill on Saturday the 18th for 6 hours. As usual, it was great fun, and with three operators we achieved 31 QSOs for our club. Thanks to our QSO partners, which included several club members operating from their various QTH or field locations, as well as the wider amateur community. Four of us set up quite efficiently on the lawns surrounding the clubhouse. Of course, at no time did we make use of any club infrastructure nor power, so we were fully compliant with the rules. A sunny day made achieving solar power easy and reliable. Thanks to club member Robert, VK6WHO, for the kind donation of a pop-up gazebo, which provided additional shelter. Walter, VK6WJH, was there at the start for setup along with Mark, VK6EZ. Rick and Graham contributed to technical discussion and packing away. A feature of many field day outings has been refreshments provided by Steve, VK6BBM. This year he upped the ante, providing a sausage sizzle on the council-provided gas-fired barbecues. Thanks also to other members for additional snacks. For us, the social side of a field day is every bit as important as the on-air activity. Our operators, Mark, VK6EZ, Robert, VK6WHO, and yours truly, worked HF, 6 metres, 2 metres and 70 centimetres. Mark did great things on HF and 6 metres. Robert and I concentrated on 2 metres and 70 centimetres. Antennas in use included a Tetemtron HF vertical, homemade flower pot and pogo sticks for 6 metres, Bunnings Yagi and an OCF HF dipole. For later experimentation, I brought along my 6 metre mag loop, still a work in progress. My personal highlight was a contact on 23 centimetres, my first on that band, with Alastair, VK6ATX, using a dipole antenna borrowed from Alastair. I also tried a contact with Randall, VK6WR, in Kings Park. Randall had set up his Adelm Pluto for 23 centimetres, but we were unable to hear each other. Antenna experiments will follow most likely. As you can expect, a Yagi for 23 centimetres is quite a small antenna. Now to consult the calendar for the next field day. This is Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WAVHF group. Thanks for listening.
This is Greg, VK6LH, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this week's News West. We'll be back next week. If you'd like to contribute anything, please send it through to newswest@vk6.net.